Deborah Larson's best-selling historical novel, The White, was based on the true account of a young woman named Mary Jemison, who was taken captive by Indians in the 18th century. Larson's new memoir, called The Tulip and the Pope, explores the situation of another young woman, Larson herself, who spirited off into a different kind of extreme solitude. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
Last fall, my Catholic grammar school in Queens, New York, held a reunion for everyone who'd graduated since the school was founded in 1962. 8 of my far-flung classmates from the class of 1969 showed up, as well as 2 of my former teachers, both of them still nuns. Talking with these devoted teachers and looking them in the eye, probably for the first time ever, confirmed what I'd suspected in the decades since I graduated. These nuns, like most of my other teachers throughout grammar school, were at most maybe 15 years older than I. When they were teaching me, many of these women were only in their mid-20s. They were so very young to have already committed themselves to the religious life. Deborah Larson was one of that generation of nuns who joined the convent when religious vocations in America and parochial school construction were at an all-time high. She entered the Order of the Sisters of Charity in 1960 when she was just 19 years old. In The Tulip and the Pope, her evocative and intelligent memoir of her convent years, Larson says of herself and her fellow novices, "Our hair shone, our eyes shone. Most of us were not long out of the womb." The memoir opens on a comic scene where Larson and 2 other young women sit in a yellow cab outside the mother house of the Sisters of Charity in East Dubuque, Illinois, smoking their last cigarettes. Once these raw recruits walk through the convent doors to be admitted as postulants, they'll be stripped of their civilian clothes, secular names, and eventually their hair. Contact with family will be severely restricted. Larson recalls how letters from her parents were slit open by the mother superior and censored. The postulants will school themselves in silence, as well as something called custody of the eyes, a practice in which they constantly look downward, lest they become distracted from the meditative state by colors or shapes or the gaze of another person. Collectively, their sense of touch will atrophy because touching, whether of one's own body or another person's, is forbidden. As Larson describes it, that first year in the convent is like a very slow amputation. By the end of that probationary period, all that will remain of these idealistic young women will be their brains and souls. In her stark historical novel, The White, Larson carried readers off into the wilderness of the 18th century. The Tulip and the Pope affects a similar miracle of time travel. Larson summons up a lost world of pre-Vatican II Catholicism, a world of deference, incense, and conviction, which will be familiar to Catholic readers of a certain vintage and of fascination to any reader curious about religious faith and the stony places it sometimes leads its followers. Writing at a 40-year remove from her convent experience, Larson, who's still a spiritual person but no longer an observant Catholic, teases out the attractions the religious life once held for her and recounts how her vocation eroded as the opportunities opened up by the Catholic progressive movement in the mid-1960s began to tempt her away. Most of the chapters in The Tulip and the Pope are short, some less than a page, and as their titles suggest, they read like prose poems on religion and its occasional absurdities. Black Becomes Us, Joan of Arc's Kneecaps, Gregorian Chant and the Congo, Pajama Legs. Larson often writes in soliloquies, the kind of soliloquies that must have been running in her head while she was in the convent, so that we readers are in the position of overhearing her dialogues between self and soul. Recalling the convent's ban on books, Larson says, "Surely you can do without your very own books for the rest of your life, can't you? You can do without the ones you fall asleep with, the ones that smell like a pulp mill or like mildew, or the ones that smell like Belgian linen." Ultimately, Larson couldn't do without those books, nor could she do without the particular friendships the convent forbade, nor cigarettes, nor colorful clothes, nor, in short, the wider world. Without disparaging or sentimentalizing the convent that once was her life, Larson conveys its drowsy power. much like my old Catholic grammar school, which, according to neighborhood gossip, just escaped being placed on the Cardinal's most recent list of schools to be closed in this era of downsizing, the convent is for Larson an enduring site of longing and dismay.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University and is the author of a new memoir called Leave Me Alone, I'm Reading. She reviewed The Tulip and the Pope by Deborah Larson.